The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Crime Prevention 101. We're so happy you joined us this week. Over the next hour, you'll learn the tips, tricks, and vital information that will help you keep yourself confident and safe. Now, here's your host, Susan Bartlestone.
Welcome to Crime Prevention 101, the personal safety radio show with an optimistic perspective on a sober subject. I'm your host, Susan Bartlestone. And it is my great privilege to spend the next hour with you helping you keep yourself safe. Now, the first topic I thought we would do today is one that's very close to my heart. We all know that these are dangerous times, and not just here, but all over the world, because especially in countries outside the U.S., violence, particularly against women, is epidemic, and knowledge of self-defense is more important than ever before. And I actually began my career as a self-defense instructor. My first guest today is one of my former teachers and a woman that I respect tremendously. She's self-defense expert Melissa Salt, who is also known as Dr. Ruthless. And we're going to find out exactly how she got that name shortly. And we're also going to find out what she's been doing in places such as India. And Melissa's also got some tips on what to do if you're in a fight for your life situation. Now, I know that we're going to be all fired up after Dr. Ruthless, so I thought for a change of pace, in the second half of the show, I'd address one of the emails that I got from a worried parent requesting information about sexting. And my second guest is going to be Daniel Keller, who is the executive director of the American Crime Prevention Institute. And I saw a great article he wrote about the subject of sexting and how to handle this problem. So if you've got teens or tweens and you don't know what sexting is, you better listen to this program. And if you do know what it is and want some tips on how to address this problem, Dan's got some great suggestions. So if you know someone who should be listening to today's show who might not be, please send out a text message about us, send an IM, give out a tweet if you're on Twitter, anything, just so that they can join us too. Now, Black Belt Magazine said about my guest, every once in a while, someone comes along and not only leaves an indelible impression on you, but changes the way you perceive yourself and your place in the world. Melissa Salt is one such person, and let me tell you, she sure had that impression on me when I trained with her. She's known as Dr. Ruthless. She's an award-winning self-defense expert, a Black Belt Hall of Fame recipient, and a former psychotherapist, and she's been teaching self-defense to women all over the world since 1986. Melissa, hello.
Wow, Susan, I don't know what to say.
Well, that's you, girl. You did it.
Awesome. Awesome. It's great to be here with you. You and I go back a few years, and we know what it's all about.
Indeed. You and I was training back with you in the 80s. That's a long time.
I know.
Now, Melissa, you said something on your website that really hit home for me. You said that half of the world's population should not have to live in fear of the other half.
Absolutely.
And that this rage is unchecked in the 21st century is a tragedy and an outrage. So at age 54, with a fire still in my loins, I'm aiming to bring my teaching to regions of the world where the skills of self-defense and the warrior spirit are urgently needed. And this is awesome. And we're going to find out about your global teaching very shortly. But first, let's go back. Let's go back to the 80s. back when you and I were kicking around there. How did you get involved in the self-defense field? Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I'll give you the short story. Otherwise, we'll be on the phone forever. But I mean, there were personal reasons and professional. On a personal level, I grew up. I am 54, so I grew up at a time when, of course, you know, good girls didn't even sweat, let alone fight back. I had an experience when I was a little girl, actually, where a little terrorist in training tried to set me on fire. A real story, and try to set my hair on fire. To make a long story short, I was with a girlfriend, and she was a tomboy, not me, and I had no clue what to do, and I kept blowing out his lighter. He had this big old lighter. He was trying to set my hair on fire, and what happened as a result of that experience, I managed to get away, thank God, but I watched my friend get all roughed up and punched, and I froze, and it left a real strong impression on me, and I thought, man, you know, why couldn't I, as a girl, you know, grow up and learn how to fight, and why didn't I kick his butt, and stuff like that. And then, you know, fast forward some years, I'm in my 20s, and I had a very terrifying experience. I'd been training in the martial arts. I got into martial arts. I'm a very physical animal. I was doing dance and martial arts, but I had an experience in Boulder, Colorado, where a guy broke into my home in the middle of the night. It was a terrifying situation, and, you know, I saw the shadowy figure down the hallway. He'd cut the power, the phone lines, the electricity, the whole bit. Mm-hmm. And what happened is I yelled, which is one of the first lines of defense, and he decided to leave, but there were follow-up phone calls. He was going to get me. He had a gun, and, you know, this was in the, 84, and this was before, you know, the guns were very prevalent. We didn't have caller ID. We had nothing, and I was terrified and traumatized, and I was also working as a psychotherapist, so I understood all these things in my head, but still, it was, I was just completely freaked out, naturally. And shortly after that, I learned about a kind of, a style of self-defense, which brings me really to your question, where men were wearing all this padded gear, and you could go full force, and it was specific to women, and how women are attacked, and rape defense. And I was in bed, and I'd never learned any fighting from a lying down position or anything like that. So shortly after this experience, I heard about this kind of kooky new thing, and I thought, man, that is for me. Sign me up. I get to go full blast. Whoa. So I took what was then a very primitive, early, not so sophisticated version of what would then become the model mugging program and then evolved into the impact program, which is a part of my kind of lineage, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I was just, it was love at first blow, Susan. I got involved. And I also had experiences, this can sort of tie into the global and the India stories, in my late teens when I was traveling around Central and South Asia, very poor, third-class student rate, kind of a hippie voyage, if you will, and I was accosted a number of times, and I'd never fought back. Like I said, you know, oh, my God, you know, the idea that a woman could fight back, should fight back, would have any power, any, you know, anything, was foreign to me, yet there I was. I found myself in situations where I was fighting back and succeeding and escaping physical and sexual attacks, and so that was another piece of how I sort of came to this. You know, it wasn't like a life and death situation at the time, but nonetheless, you know, I was able to fend off maulers and molesters and, you know, all kinds of creeps, which of course doesn't just happen there.
You know, I totally understand that love at first, bite kind of thing.
Right.
Because that was actually my experience, too. Even though I didn't have the dramatic kind of... I mean, I did have an incident when I was 19 where I was attacked, and I did know at that moment. And I... It was a kind of a puny attack. He was really, just a wuss. And if I had... I knew if I had any idea what I was doing, I could really mopped up the floor with him. Mm-hmm. But you were a front runner in that use of full force. And when I first stepped into your class, and that I had already had martial arts training, but I knew that there was something else that I wasn't getting, that I needed. And that was the first time that I ever hit something full force. And let me tell you, I was in love, too. I absolutely loved it. And I tell you a funny thing. I remember that we were taught these eye gouges to the eye, which is an extremely good technique, which I think we're probably going to get to talk about. And that I'd never, you can't really practice that technique, you know, in a karate dojo because you can't go into the eyes. And I dug into that eye. The eye on that attacker, he's fully padded, and he's got webbing over it. And I grabbed that webbing, and I just made believe I was actually ripping the eye out. I mean, I know it sounds horrible, but when Melissa teaches you, she gets you to the point where you understand you might have to do something like that to save your life, and she gets you to give yourself permission to do it. And that was just amazing, and I did it, and it was.
And you know, Susan, you're hitting on such great points, and this is a universal thing. I mean, that's true. I mean, hence my beloved trade name, Dr. Ruthless. You know, because I believe in being ruthless. And you know, you're talking about. I mean, part of, I guess, what I'm known for, and what I've kind of majored in, for lack of better words, is really very primal skills. It really has to do with tapping into the female animal instinct to survive. And that, you know, the ugly term for that is the killer instinct. But it's in us all, you know. Women are tough. I think we're much tougher than we give ourselves credit for. And we've kind of lost a little bit of, we've lost this connection to this aggressive, primal, fierce instinct that we all have. That's part of our own prehistory. You know, my line on this is, as you know, is that, you know, if you think back, oh, you know, 40,000 years or something like that, you know, we were spearing the bears and stomping on the snakes, and, you know, we've just kind of gotten softer over the years. But we have to get back to that. And so that's what you're saying, whether it's an eye strike or using your knee or whether it's getting a pen in your hand. I mean, recently there was a story circulating in the news about an 18-year-old woman who was trying to be, two men tried to abduct her into a van, which, of course, is a situation where you fight for your life. And she used a ballpoint pen and was able to stab him in the neck. But these are very primitive skills. And you need good technique, you need skill and will, you know, and that's part of, I think, the permission piece that you're talking about. And so that's really, you know, where I kind of stake my flag. I mean, there's plenty of people that can focus on prevention, and I do some of that, too, and that's, of course, very, very important. But when you get down to it, you know, I'm really about the down and dirty, and what does it take to go full blast to save your life, to fight the aggressor? And you gotta go. You gotta really get down and be and give yourself permission to do things that might otherwise be unthinkable.
And that's actually what your specialty is. And it's this primal self-defense. And this is what you taught me. And of course, you always want to try and avoid a problem or diffuse it.
Always.
But there are times where you can't.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that women need to understand, because most attacks against women. And I have to sort of use broad strokes here for, in the interest of time. They happen at they're personal, and they happen at close range, what I call hot breath on your face range. You know, years ago, what we used to call the old phone booth range. They don't happen at a distance. Most attacks against women, if they're sexual attacks, if they're, you know, intimate attacks, if there's somebody you know, there's a proximity, there's an intimacy factor. And that means that somebody is getting close to you. So women need to, in a sense, exploit that, take advantage of that, and this gets into, as you well know, you know, what we call infighting. It's close range, using. And again, I just want to stress, like we keep saying here, but let me just say it in very plain English, that the goal of fighting back is to facilitate escape.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to duke it out with a guy. This is not a contest of strength, because we are smaller. We do have disadvantages, and I don't minimize that, you know, which is more reason why if you have to go physical, you need to be fierce. You need to have very smart strategies that you can bring to bear, you know, now, because now is the only time that matters. So this is where we get real practical, you know, versus the more traditional long-term style martial arts sort of training.
All right. Coming up, we're going to talk more with Melissa, and we're going to find out some tips on how to find your warrior spirit in a desperate situation. And, hey, don't forget, you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. And there's plenty of show left to tune in for, so start tweeting about us.
News, opinion,
action. Hear me.
Your
voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com. After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, How to Respond to Danger in 20 Seconds or Less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information. You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. Susan would like to remind you that no absolutes exist in a crime scenario, and no advice can possibly address every variable. Each situation should be evaluated individually and responded to in a way you instinctively judge best. It's Susan's aim on this show to provide you with the information and options that will help you make that instinctive assessment quickly and safely. And if you're already a survivor of the kind of crime we're talking about on the show today, or any other crime for that matter, please remember that there are no right or wrong responses in a criminal encounter, and nothing that happened to you was your fault. Even if you think you used bad judgment in a situation and left yourself vulnerable, that's never an excuse for a crime or for violence. So please, call yourself a survivor, not a victim, and understand that with time, distance, and the proper professional help, you can put what happened into perspective and get on with your life. If you'd like to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, send your comments to solutions@fightsafe.com, and Susan may address some of them on future shows. That email address again, solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101.
Hi, Susan Bartlestone here, and if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Dr. Ruthless, also known as Melissa Salt. And you can find out more information about her programs and her DVD, Fierce and Female, on her website, dr-ruthless.com. And I'm also going to link to her website from my own blog site, crimeprevention101.com. And from there, you can share each and every show on your Facebook or Twitter page or email it to friends who may have missed it. But before we talk with Melissa again, I just want to tell you about My Mobile Witness, a free service that transforms your camera cell phone into a personal safety device. For example, if you're in a stalking situation, if you have an order of protection against someone, if you witness a crime happening, or if you just find yourself in any kind of dangerous situation that might potentially be dangerous for you, you're going to want to check out My Mobile Witness. And there are special offers available for colleges and universities. So go to mymobilewitness.com for more information. And that's M-O-B-I-L-E. All right, let's get back to Dr. Ruthless.
But let me just attach to the point that you're saying. I would say it a little bit differently, absolutely what you're saying is the warrior spirit is crucial. I think techniques do matter, but you need to keep them simple. And one of the reasons why, because we need skill and will. It's both. But one of the reasons why, like you say so correctly, that, you know, even really trained martial arts people, and I'm absolutely for martial arts, because it develops, it can develop very good technique and power and strength. Mm-hmm. But what happens under the effects of adrenaline? This is adrenaline, and this is a key point for folks to understand: is that adrenaline has its good and its bad elements, for lack of better words. And this is what happens in a real situation. There's a whole chemical cocktail that kicks in, and the adrenaline is pumping through your body. There's tremendous fear. It's terrifying. It's electrifying. And it's critical to understand that you can't use any fancy techniques. You know, we talk about it in terms of gross motor skills, because under the effects of the adrenaline, and even it doesn't matter what sort of background you have, it gets very, very simple. You can't, in other words, you can't do fine or complex motor skills. You can't tie your shoe well. You can't tune a radio dial. You have to stick to very simple, gross bodily moves, elbows, knees, palms, biting, smashing, picking something up, you know, driving in with your hips, and all my techniques are about the hips, which is part of the Dr. Ruthless thing. So that's what goes out the window, is that you have to, and this is what people need to understand, I believe in good technique, I just don't want to load people up with a lot of them. I want them to be simple, to be instinctive, that you can maximize from standing positions and also from ground fighting. Rape defense is a big one of my big focal points in terms of my my seminars and so forth, because you have to know what to do from a lying down position, whether somebody's on top of you or approaching or whatever. So, you know, the techniques that I teach have to do with the power of the legs, the lower bodies, very explosive. I'm very big into explosivity. Timing, as you well know, you know, it's sometimes you have to fake submission initially. You have to then go 0 to 100%. So timing becomes a technique unto itself. That's what I mean by you need smart strategies to bring your best weapons to bear so that you can shock, explode, cause enough disabling, a distraction, pain, all of that, so that you can make a safe getaway.
All right, so I think we're getting the idea of where the name Dr. Ruthless came from. Right? Okay.
Yeah, from being ruthless, and also from the, obviously, the, you know, the reference to Dr. Ruth, who's actually one of my heroes. I think she's great. She's another short woman.
That's correct.
But she deals with
About 5 feet two, is it?
Oh, I'm 5 feet on a good hair day, woman. I wish I was 5'2".
Yeah, you and I are eyeball to eyeball, honey.
Oh, my God. and that's why we have to be fierce, because we're smaller.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
We and need it.
I just want to really, in other words, I just want, in terms of just making it clear about the skill level of the technique, you do need a basic vocabulary of technique, but you don't need to practice years and years and years to get a perfect sidekick.
No, you're absolutely right, and you don't need, you know, really what I was saying again is that this is that prehistoric sort of survival thing. I mean, there are stories like, you know, you and I know if we had time we could probably tell a ton of stories of women who've even had no training, no actual technical training, but they were able to, in the heat of that moment, and this is another key point, I'm jumping around here a little bit, but part of the technique, if I can call all these things techniques, is, and this is a big focal point of mine, it's on my Fierce and Female DVDs, all over my website, in my hands-on classes, whatever, that you have to learn to harness the fear and the adrenaline. Because it's tremendously powerful stuff. Because we are smaller, so, you know, we can't duke it out with a guy, go blow to, you know, toe-to-toe, blows to blows in that sort of stand-up male-male kind of way of ritualized combat, if you will. So the emotional charge, the terror, you know, that naturally you will feel if you were, God forbid, attacked, and the adrenaline, the mix of these two becomes a very potent source of energy, and this is part of my training, is how do you harness that and focus it. This is the key word, focus, because otherwise what happens is that people will flail, they'll panic, they lose their focus. And one of my tips and mantras is that when you go physical, if somebody's, you're standing and somebody's thrown you against a wall or pinned you and you have to, you know, strike to get away, you want to be very targeted. You want to take all of that tremendous energy and focus it like a bullet into one directed action, as opposed to like a firecracker kind of exploding in many directions at once. So knowing how to harness that energy and how to focus, how to stay focused under the effect of adrenaline and under the, you know, the effect of all of that fear that can otherwise splinter your attention and just make you panic or submit or crush, you know, you want to, this is something that we talk about as the reversal. There's a, again, it's kind of a, coming up with the new definitions of techniques here, Susan, but the spirit of reversal, knowing how to turn a situation around, whether that's in a ground, lying down, sexual attack, or a standing situation, that again becomes a technique, but you have to focus all this energy into a very directed counterattack that facilitates that escape. That's
now,
technique.
You mentioned the DVD, and it's called Fierce and Female, and this is the kind of stuff that you've got on that DVD, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It was very highly praised, and I want to make a particular point of mentioning Fierce and Female DVD because these concepts can be hard sometimes to just listen to, and sometimes it's just much easier to see it, and plus you see all those techniques, and I want to make sure I give your website where people can take a look at that. It's Dr.-Ruthless.
It's dr-ruthless.com.
And
the DVD is there, and connections to my blog and my Facebook and all that stuff where I'm just...
Yeah, we're all over that, right?
It's true. I mean, that's the point about the DVD, and they have been very well received. I'm proud to say this. And it's a two-disc set, and the second one is all about rape defense. It's all focused on fighting from the ground and lying down rape-specific pins and attacks. And it's very practical. And I think that's really what we keep stressing, is
it,
that
it, I haven't gotten
practical.
My copy yet. I'm about to order it, Melissa, but I know it was very well received. So I'm really proud to mention it for you.
Well, thank you.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the work that you've done in India, in Germany, in Switzerland. And you know, I've been to India twice, and I know they've got some bad problems over there. Talk about what your experiences were.
Well, I was in India recently, some months ago, and it was just, I mean, all. Let me preface by saying it was just fabulous, and for me, it was really it was a very powerful experience personally, because I had mentioned earlier when I was in my late teens, you know, I was there, and that was one of the places where I first discovered this fire, you know, this primal instinct, and I actually fought back. And I had no technique, you know. I just knew I was pissed, and I needed to get this guy off of me. So I hadn't been there in 35 years, and yet I stay abreast of the politics there and what's going on in the women's movement. And India is an interesting country because there's you don't think about it as sort of a hotbed of feminism, but it is. There's a lot of women's movement going on. They're kind of underground.
Well, there's some terrible problems over there.
I
mean, there's street harassment is rampant.
Yeah, more so in some areas than others. That's absolutely true. And sexual assault is on the rise there. There's a lot of
pride burnings, domestic violence.
There's domestic violence. There's a lot of discrimination against women. Still, they're fighting, and you know, they're fighting hard to earn their equality. And they're winning some battles and losing some battles, and so there's a lot of problems there, absolutely. And I was teaching in Delhi, and I was also teaching in Bangalore, and it was just, you know, the thing is, it was, I mean, I had classes of women, and some mixed gender classes too. By the way, I also do teach men, but women is really my focal point and my specialty. I mean, there were women there who were wearing traditional Indian garb outfits. There were, you know, there was a 13-year-old. There were young college students. There were. It was just an incredible mixture of women. And the thing is, and they all really took to it. You know, I mean, they just really learned to fight, and they really have. I mean, there's a lot of conditioning to overcome, and it's not, self-defense is not common there. It's not common at all. You know, here it's become a big industry, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not there. So it was extraordinary experience for me to be able to work with women to whom this was really new, and to whom the idea of fighting back is really a new, some of whom.
Right.
It's a very new concept, and have, they're kind of where we were decades ago in this regard, in terms of self-defense and women learning to take their bodies back. It really fully, and what that means, and being able to access power. So it's a very, it's such an incredible country, because there is no one India. That's the thing, as you know, I'm sure that there's the young high tech India. There's you know, the so many different traditions and cultures and regions and tribal groups and ethnicities and so forth. Each one having its own kind of ways and all of that, you know, the geography being so different. So it's really such a mixture. It would be impossible and wrong for me to even suggest that there's, you know, it's like this or it's like that. It's just an incredible mixture. But it's what's crucial is, and I have taught in Western Europe, and I'm actually aiming and hoping to go back to India, and I'm actually talking to somebody in Singapore right now. And the thing is that this is universal, and that's really what I want to stress is that, you know, women all over the world, first of all, we are in dire need of practical self-defense skills. I mean, like you said early on, and it's so true, that violence against women has become pandemic. You know, the UN,
and you have to start young. You got to get them in the colleges,
young,
in the high schools, and I know you do these great college programs.
Yeah, absolutely, you got to get them younger and younger. And men need to get, you know, men. There's a lot of re-education going on, and also in countries like India, where they're focusing on the men, where they're having to, you know, really work with men to see women as their equals. And to undo some of their conditioning, and this is a long haul, but it's just—I mean, it's outrageous that here we are in the 21st century, and that whether it's Africa, where there's horrible, you know, in the Congo, and just all over the violence against women, and whether it's Asia, whether it's here in our, you know, in rural America, where it's all hushed up. You know, it's the bottom line is that, you know, it's, as I like to say, it's all one big hood, womanhood. And I think that it's an important part of women's social activism as well. I think that until women really take their bodies back as a source of power and learn to protect and defend themselves along with all the changes in public policy and laws and you know, education and all that other stuff, that we will never, as a species and as a culture, be safe or whole. And so mm-hmm. I see this as crucial, and I really, and because violence is so widespread, it's just critical to me, and it pains me deeply, and it enrages me, both on a personal and a professional level, that that this is still going on in this day and age, and learning to physical defense, I include in that, you know, of course, you know, you and I are both big on using weapons of opportunity and how to
use
a book or a pen or the chair or, you know, whatever you can get your hands on. And also, I'm also in favor of women learning how to wield, you know, sticks. And depending on where they are and what the culture is and what's going on, I want women to be able to know how to use a knife if they had to, God forbid, you know, be survive, that protect themselves or their young. So there's many pieces of this self-defense continuum, but the bottom line is that this is part of our heritage. It's part of our female endowment to be able to do what it takes to protect and defend and survive. And it's something that we need to reclaim and take back, whether we're, you know, in an American city, on a college campus, you know, in a country, whether it's Romania, Albania, Africa, India, wherever it is, you know, that this is something that really connects us all together, and it's imperative that women learn to protect themselves and to pass this power to their young. You know, this is one of the ways we pass power, is by embodying.
So glad that you're out there doing this. All right, very quickly, we're just give a couple of tips.
Okay.
The most important things, one or two things that women should take away from today, and or men, because they get attacked too.
Oh, absolutely. Well, one or two things. In terms of the physical, because that's kind of really what I'm focusing on, is that you've got to learn, you know, you must be able to use your body parts as weapons. You know, if you're attacked in close quarters, you've got to be able to be explosive and you know, use your elbows, your knees, your hands, go for eye strikes, go for throat strikes, use knees,
eyes, ears,
groin,
nose, throat, right,
the nose, throat, the knee, the kick out the legs, the shin. If you're on the ground and you're in a lying down position, you know, do whatever you can to try to get somebody off of you if they're on top of you. Use your legs like battering rams. Try to get them between you and your aggressor, your attacker, and deliver powerful kicks. But here's the bottom line. It's from the hips. You got to get your hips engaged because that's where the power is. And so that's why I say it's a womanly art. Do it with your hips. Do it 100%. Yell, make a scene. Do it hard, fast, furiously, and
fiercely.
Fiercely.
And fierce.
Fight to the claw nail.
Melissa, thank you so much for being with me today. Now, maybe you'll come back again when you get back from India and talk a little bit about what your experiences were there again. Make sure to check her out at dr-ruthless.com. She's also on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. Probably we're both on Twitter. Check us all out there. All right, now, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the problem of sexting that teens and even tweens are engaging in. And my guest will be Daniel Keller, Executive Director of the American Crime Prevention Institute. And if you don't know what sexting is and you've got a kid, you better not miss it.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
This is Crime Prevention 101. Thanks for tuning in today. And we also have a website for you to take a look at, crimeprevention101.com, where you can look at what we're talking about, the show topic, see pictures of my guests. You can also listen to the show as a podcast there, as well as from my host page on Voice America. And you can also get on my mailing list or email me directly. So check it out. All right, my guest today is Daniel Keller, and he has been in the crime prevention field since 1971, first as the Director of Public Safety for the University of Louisville, and then as a founder in 1998 of the American Crime Prevention Institute, which is headquartered in Louisville, Kentucky. And this institute provides crime prevention seminars and training resources to both law enforcement personnel and the private sector. And Dan has lectured at over 300 training seminars throughout the nation. That is just awesome. And I happen to read an article, because I'm on the newsletter for the American Crime Prevention Institute, about sexting. And I immediately had gotten an email from one of my listeners to ask if I would address this on the show. And I am so happy to do that. So, Dan, welcome to Crime Prevention 101.
Hi, Susan.
Pleasure to have you with me, Dan. All right, let's jump in. What is sexting?
Well, sexting is a recent trend, particularly among some young people. It's the sending of sexually explicit messages or photos electronically, often over cell phones, but also to computers as well.
And when you say sexually explicit, do you mean naked?
Well, in many cases, it is inappropriate exposure of parts of the body. you know, you have to ask why this is being done, and often it's the indication it's being done because the young people in particular who are doing this think that it's fun or flirtatious. They're doing it, they're sending these images of themselves to their friends or boyfriends or girlfriends or something of that nature.
Yeah, quite often. How prevalent do you think this is? I'd read somewhere that it's like 22% of teenage girls and 18% of teenage boys. Is that your figure also?
Well, according to a 2008 survey by the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy, 22% of teenage girls and 18% of teenage boys have taken nude or semi-nude photos of themselves and sent them electronically to someone else. So that's about 20% average.
That's a lot.
Well, yeah. It certainly is. You know, this is another one of those categories of crime that we didn't have 10 years ago,
A
lot of other issues that we're dealing with in today's modern society, and this is one of the implications of that.
Yeah, that's this is with all this brand new social media and all this kind of thing. We've got brand new crimes, and that this is a crime, by the way. What are the consequences of sexting? You know, we have the newfangled media here. we just lost each other. What's wrong with sending a sexy picture to my boyfriend?
Well, first of all, these pictures can be very easily forwarded or re-forwarded simply by a push of a button to someone else to whom they were not intended. They can be uploaded to websites such as MySpace or Facebook or one of these social websites. And quite candidly, in many cases, they are illegal, and people who are sending these, it's illegal to possess, distribute, or manufacture pornography of persons under the age of 18. And in most states, that's a felony charge. And thus, if somebody sends, who's under 18, sends an image of themselves in a nude or semi-nude basis, they may be committing a felonious criminal offense.
And that's a very good point. There's actually two points that I want to elaborate on a little bit in what you just said. First of all, you may think you're just sending it to a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but there's no guarantee that it will stay there. I mean, this has been known. First of all, people break up. You break up with a boyfriend, and he gets mad, and he posts those pictures all over the place. And or just does it, you know, to be malicious, because, you know, they call it boys will be boys, but there are some very nasty boy tricks out there, correct? I mean, there's no guarantee when you send that picture that it's going to stay private. Even, right, Dan, movie stars, right? Look at Pamela Anderson, and I mean, that's not sexting, but it's the same concept. You familiar with what I'm talking about?
Yeah, once it goes into cyberspace, it can be uploaded to almost any website simply by a push of a button.
That's right. Pamela Anderson, remember when she and one of her husbands, Tommy Lee, made a video of themselves having sex? And when they divorced, that video somehow got all over the web. Well, it's the same kind of thing with sending these things via cell phone or via the internet. You once it's out there, you just never know where it's going to wind up, and this can have a tragic consequence. And the second thing you said, that it can be subject to legal consequences, right?
Yes, there are instances out there where young people are being criminally prosecuted for engaging in sexting.
And I think I just read somewhere an 18-year-old, they had been convicted of it. His conviction was upheld. And once what you're convicted of can be labeled, you can be labeled as a sex offender.
That's correct.
And just talk a little bit of what that means if you're categorized as a sex offender.
Well, if you're a registered sex offender, that may impact your ability to get a job. That may impact your ability to get into a college. It's certainly going to do serious damage to your personal reputation, and it may very well follow you for the rest of your life.
And it also affects where you live. You may have to be monitored. You may have to be coming in to register everywhere you go. It can follow you for life.
That's correct.
And it's not just a little kind of thing. And what seems, you know, like when you're 13 or 16, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but oh my God, kids really need to know the consequences can be dire for this. Now, do you have any suggestions about how a parent can tell if a child is sexting? What can they do?
Well,
how do they know?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
How do they know if a child is sexting?
Well, that's pretty difficult for them to know unless they have actually seen it or it's been brought to their attention by someone. What parents need to do is they need to talk to their teens. You know, most teens have cell phones now. Most teens have social relationships. They need to explain to them, and they need to talk, not necessarily preach. They need to explain to them the ramification and the consequences. You know, there are two strategies that we employ in crime prevention, and one of them is preventing criminalization. And that's what this is. We try to work with young people and let them understand what the implications are of this kind of behavior, both criminally and personally and socially, and and in so doing, get them to take the right course of action and avoid this type of behavior.
Now, I think that's incredibly important. Keep the lines of communication open with your kids. Give them that education, and don't preach. That's hugely important.
And parents need to, if at all possible, to become tech savvy so that they understand what is possible and what's going on with their children with computers and cell phones and the various electronic means of communication that are available.
Now, I understand you do programs for the schools that sort of informs them about these things?
No, we do not ourselves do this. Now, some police departments are working with the Fairfax, Virginia County Police Department is one that I'm familiar with. They have done a community forum on sexting. The National Crime Prevention Council has developed a good brochure on sexting. There's all kinds of ways of getting the word out. It could be through neighborhood watch meetings. It could be working through local school districts. It could be working through local PTAs or PTOs. We need to reach out and let people know what's happening. The young people know what's happening. The adults need to understand what's happening.
Oh, exactly. And I think that's a good tip, though. Check with your local police department, your crime prevention officer, and see if they've got a program on sexting that they can present to the parents, the PTAs, you know, whatever body that the parents have in the school system, to really educate them about it, what to look out for. Now, I understand you have a brochure about sexting, how teens can stay safe. And
we do not have the brochure. The brochure is with the National Crime Prevention Council, NCPC. And if you would Google NCPC, you'll find it, and they have a pretty good brochure.
And is it on your website as well, acpionline.com?
No, we don't have it up now, but they have it on the NCPC, National Crime Prevention Council website.
Okay, and that's good advice, because get all the information that you possibly can on this so that you can have a rational discussion about it with the kids. And I think it's a good idea if the crime prevention officers do present programs at school and let these kids know about the legal consequences of it. You know, that's hugely important.
I certainly agree, and there are crime prevention specialists and practitioners throughout the country who are picking up on this issue and becoming involved in it. It's a fairly contemporary issue, and it's something that's come to a boiling point over the last year or two.
Well, I agree. Well, Dan, thank you so much for being with me on Crime Prevention 101, and we're going to have more information for you and maybe some tips when we come back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
I'm Susan Bartlestone. This is Crime Prevention 101. And don't forget that Crime Prevention 101 is also available on iTunes so that you don't even have to be at your computer to listen. I was talking with Dan Keller from the American Crime Prevention Institute. His website is ACPI, that's A Apple, C Charlie, P Peter, I India Online.com. And he's got, I'm going to put a link to the article that he has on sexting on my Crime Prevention 101 website. But if you go to his website, you're going to find some very interesting tips. He's got some Halloween safety tips. He's got tips for churches and different organizations. And I think that you find a lot of useful information there. Now, I did check out the National Council on Missing and Exploited Children to see what tips that they've got about sexting. And I thought it was kind of interesting. And I'm also going to post all of these, actually. And their website is ncmec.net, National Council of Missing and Exploited Children. And the first tip that they gave was to make sure to review your house rules for online contact with your children before giving them access to any new web technology or cell phones or anything like that. Read them the Riot Act in a nice way and discuss your expectations for their behavior. And then you also want to discuss the consequences for failing to meet those expectations, such as limited access to the web, limited texting, maybe removal of the cell phone, you know, maybe get them a cell phone without a camera. Now, there's a number of things that you're going to want to think about in terms of how to deal with the consequences if they don't act right, and kind of anything, not just sexting. If the kids, now this is the NCMEC saying this, if the children ignore the rules, consider removing cell phones altogether, but this should be a last resort because it is, in this day and age, it is good for a kid to have a cell phone, maybe not a camera cell phone, that's all. It's the technology is not going anywhere. It's important that children learn how to use it. You also want to talk to them early and often about how once it's out there, just like Dan Keller was saying, once it's out there, you can't take it back, and you don't know where it's going to end up. You hear all sorts of stories about raucous pictures of fraternity parties on Facebook pages, and this young man going now for a job, and they go back to the Facebook page. And there it is, what he, you know, likes to do in his spare time. Well, the employer might not like that. You know, once it's out there, you don't know what's going to happen to it. It travels very, very far and very quickly. So you got to make it absolutely clear that the moment they send a digital image of themselves from their cell phones, they completely lose control of what happens next. I've got a few resources for you for more information about sexting. And this is your homework, parents, because you got to do this. You can't just go to a lecture. You've got to know. And I'm going to post all of these on the on my Crime Prevention 101 website. But just so you know, there's a great website called safekids.com, safekids.com, and they've got sexting tips there. And lots of other good information. There's also, here's the article that I was talking about with Dan Keller, Teen Sexting Conviction Upheld. And what happened to this 18-year-old? And it's on connectsafely.org. And this is a really good site for some social networking tips to give to your kids and some of the dangers that are on these social networking sites. There's another good article. It's called Talking to Kids and Teens About Social Media and Sexting. And it's from the American Academy of Pediatrics. And this is a very long website. So you can either go to the American Academy of Pediatrics, AAP.org, and try and find their sexting article, or I will post it on my Crime Prevention 101 website. And the National Council of Missing and Exploited Children, that downloadable pamphlet that they have, tips to parents on sexting. So you're going to have it there as well. Lots of information there for you. Now, we had a lot of tips on the website today, so I'm going to... Dr. Ruthless has given me some her tips, and it's called Savage Tips for How to Save Your Pretty Ass. Yes, I said it. And you're going to find them in the show notes there, and you can download her tips right from there. I'm going to have the sexting article that Dan Keller wrote, and I'll also put a link to his website. This really was such an interesting article too, I have to say, because 22% of teens, and that really is a lot. I also want to just say now we are coming to the end of the show today. What a great topic for the show, and I want to make sure that you know this is your show. I want to respond to your questions, to your comments, and I thank my listener who asked me to talk about the sexting. If you write, you've got a concern, you want to tell me, I will address it. So please keep your comments coming to me. Just email me solutions@fightsafe.com. I also got an email about my book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime. If you go to 22ndresponse.com, you can find information about my book. That's 22ndresponse.com. And I think that we're gonna call it a wrap for today. Next week I'm gonna have more stories that demand to be told, more hot crime topics, and of course, lots and lots of safety tips and resources for you. So you know what? It'd be a crime not to listen. So stay tuned and stay safe.
We hope you got some useful information and inspiration this week on Crime Prevention 101. Susan Bartlestone invites you to join us again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Voice America. If you want to learn more about Susan's guest, sign up for her newsletter, or find out about upcoming teleseminars and workshops, go to www.crimeprevention101.com today. Have a great week and a safe week.